today's case is one that I have gone back and forth on, trying to decide if I'm going to be able to cover it, mainly because this case is truly that heartbreaking. The Duermann boys should not be the main characters in today's case. They should rather be soaking up their summer days with pool days, barbecues, and fishing at the lake together, like the best friends that the three children were. At only 3, 4, and 7 years old, Hunter, Clayton, and Chase were said to be hilarious, sports-loving, and inseparable. This trio of brothers was said to have loved life to the fullest and loved each other fiercely. On the afternoon of June 15th, 2023, police would respond to a scene unlike anything they had ever seen in this community before. The bodies of small, innocent children would be laying in the front yard of a home located on the 1900 block of Laurel Lindell Road. And sitting on the front porch of this home, just mere feet away from the bodies of small children, would be a man. This man, based off body cam footage, seemed to be completely unfazed with the massacre that had taken place in this front yard. And as police approach, this man very clearly has the demeanor of someone who thinks that this is just another day, just another summer day. The man that I am referencing was the father of Hunter, Clayton, and Chase. This is the man that these boys looked up to for guidance, love, and safety. And this man, Chad Duermann, their father, is also the man who chose to senselessly and violently take their life. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Dark Deeds Podcast. Here on the Dark Deeds Podcast, we dive deep into criminal minds, both past and present. So if you are looking for a true crime podcast that goes beyond the headlines and focuses on the importance of justice for victims, well, my friend, you have come to the right place. This is the Dark Deeds Podcast. I'm May Keatles. Let's dive right in. On the afternoon of June 15th, 2023, Laura Duermann made a frantic 911 call at around 4 p.m. With desperation in her voice, she informed the 911 dispatcher that her babies had been shot. At the very same moment, Laura's 16-year-old daughter was sprinting down the road in the direction of the fire department. This firehouse was a mere half mile from their driveway, but I can only imagine that to Alexis, in this state of panic, felt like an eternity away. Alexis's screams were loud and frantic, understandably so, and they caught the ear of a passerby who also called 911. The 911 dispatcher informed all first responders to respond without their sirens on. The scene that police and EMTs would respond to on Laurel Lindell Road was horrific. Small children laid lifeless in the front yard, while their father sat on the front porch, seemingly unfazed by the truly vile crime that he had just committed mere minutes earlier. All three boys had been shot execution style. Now, there has been some discrepancy on the location of the boys. Literally all but one article that I had come across stated that all three boys were in the front yard. However, I did see one article stating that one of them was inside, but nevertheless, all three of them had been shot execution style. Despite immense efforts made by first responders to save all three of the little boys, not a single one would pull through, and all would be pronounced dead at their home on Laurel Lindell Drive. Body cam footage has been released, and it was released pretty quickly. And I just want to warn y'all, this is tough to watch. This body cam footage is raw. It's up close. It's personal. You're going to see black boxes also on this body cam footage. That is because those black boxes are covering up the lifeless bodies of three tiny little boys. On this body cam footage, please pay attention to the two police officers who are approaching the property after exiting their squad cars. You can tell when I play this body cam footage that the officer in the front is desperate to get to these children. Now, we can't see the children from the other officer who's standing behind him's body cam, obviously, but I would assume that the officer in the front could see these tiny boys lying face down in the front yard. He is so desperate to quickly get to these children that his backup officer, the one standing behind him, is telling him to be sure that he gets coverage first, because he is no good to anyone if he doesn't make sure he's safe as well. I cannot fathom what was going through these officers' minds as they approach a scene this heinous. They had to see such small, innocent little boys lying lifeless in the literal very spot where probably the day before they had been enjoying their summer, playing, riding bikes, and just living their life carefree. And one last reminder, like I said, there you will see these black boxes here covering your screen. These are the lifeless bodies of the three children. So please use viewer discretion as we move forward.
Where's he at? Here.
Shooter's on the porch.
Get him right here. Right here. You got him on the porch.
We've asked. That's the last place we've been told.
You show me your hands now! Stand up and
stand
walk,
up
with me.
Walk towards us!
Stand up now!
Walk towards us! Stand up with your hands up!
I know, but we can't.
If you're wanting first aid and he's not complying, you know he's a shooter, shoot him.
We gotta find cover first. We ain't no good if we ain't safe or so. Hey, no. We need to come from this side where we can see him. Don't take cover behind her. We see him. We're going to approach from this side. We got cover. Right here.
Six cover.
We got to go.
29 and 63 is high back.
We're not working right now.
Show us your fucking hands
now! Stand up!
Stand up! Stand up!
Stand up now! Stand up!
Stand the fuck up!
Get your hands out of here.
Tell number 21. It's in the air.
Get your butt inside.
We on primary?
Now.
29,
we got
3 63, we're 21. Have EMS respond over here.
You're clear, they're being advised.
Robert 34, just start a mass cast, do respond.
63, do you want them to respond to the Laurel Lindale address? Where exactly do you need them?
We're right in the front yard. What are you doing, man?
Hey, are you copying all this?
Can I roll over? I ain't gonna hurt you. I ain't gonna hurt nobody.
You got anything on you?
No, I ain't got nothing, man. Phone, that's it. I'm mad. I ain't nothing. Just make sure that dog don't come out. I don't think he'll bite you. Just don't reach for him and try to grab him and pet him.
All right.
He won't bite you.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. Can I stand up? It's kind of uncomfortable.
I'm gonna get you
here. I ain't
gonna do
nothing. I ain't running away. You can do whatever you want with me.
Here. You the only one else inside the house?
What?
You the only one else inside the house?
Yeah.
Sit down right here.
My daughter, she ran over to the fire department.
Sit down.
It's my stepdaughter.
Put him in the cage.
Despite all the attempts that police made to get Chad to cooperate with them, he didn't. He remained sitting on his porch. And in the aftermath, he showed literally no emotion whatsoever. And in my opinion, the responding police officers showed a million times more empathy than the actual father, Chad Duerman, did. This man is absolutely disgusting. And to be quite frank with y'all, I don't think this man has anything near a heart whatsoever. After police handcuffed him, Chad did ask if they could roll him over and also asked if he could sit up, going as far as to tell the officer, quote, "I ain't gonna hurt you and I ain't gonna hurt nobody," end quote. Like, what, Chad? You literally just shot your three small children minutes earlier in this very front yard. Those boys were only 3, 4, and 7 years old. You took their life execution style, and you're literally going to adamantly proclaim to an officer minutes after doing all of this just disgusting, heinous, vile behavior that you're not gonna hurt anyone? You already did. Throughout the entire interaction with law enforcement, Chad seems calm. And at times, in my opinion, almost conversational even. And I don't know if y'all heard in the background of the body cam footage, there was a very distressed female. That female was the boy's mother, Laura. Just absolutely heartbreaking. Once Chad was in custody, his wife, Laura, was taken to the University of Cincinnati Hospital to have her wounds treated. She had been shot once in the hand in what appears to have been an attempt to deflect the gun from her own children. During this attempt to stop him, one of the boys actually took off running to a densely treed part of the area. And instead of just, you know, letting him go, Chad had the consciousness to decide to go after him. He went and hunted down one of these boys and brought him back to finish what he had started. On Friday, June 16th, Chad appeared in the Claremont County courtroom. He is facing 3 counts of aggravated murder. He was also surrounded by law enforcement and also wearing a protective vest. This vest, I'm sure y'all are familiar with it if you've been following the Brian Koberger case, is typically put on inmates who are at risk of harming themselves, or at least they're perceived at being high risk for this. Now, Chad's defense attorney did request a $75,000 bond during this hearing, which to me is just offensive. I understand defense attorneys have to do their job. This is what they're there to do. I totally understand that. But that this man even thinks he is deserving of bond is beyond me. Thankfully, the prosecution was not having it, though. And the prosecution also made sure to come with receipts to show what a despicable human being Chad Duerman really is. I need to think of a term for just this disgusting type of human being, because I honestly think that they need to have a word for them, because human is just not at all what these people who commit crimes like this are. During this hearing, it was made extremely clear that this was not a spur of the moment, heated argument that spiraled out of control. Chad had actually admitted to law enforcement that he had been planning this for months. What type of sick, twisted individual is able to contemplate something this evil? I am truly, truly unable to fathom.
At this point, I'm going to let Mr. Gast handle the bond.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning.
Judge, we've got law enforcement with us here today. Our office has been involved. Lots of people in our office have been involved with law enforcement throughout yesterday, afternoon, evening, all the way through this morning. And the facts I have for you at this point are as follows. The trauma that this man has inflicted on his family, the community, law enforcement, first responders, and all of the rest of us who have any idea what's going on here is unspeakable. There's been a full admission in this case, Judge. The case is still new. We're still discovering facts. But the evil horror of what we know is impossible to process. In an act of just incomprehensible cruelty, the father that stands before you lined up his 3 young boys, and he executed them in his own home with a rifle. They were ages 3, 4, and 7, Judge. In an act of desperation to save her children, the mother at some point grabbed the gun the father was wielding to attempt to protect them. We know that one of the boys was able to flee into a field near the home. And again, we know from his admission, father hunted that boy down, drug him back to the property, and executed him in front of witnesses. The mother was shot through the hand in her attempt to protect her children. Judge, I asked the court in setting this bond to just begin to imagine their fear. This was the man that every day they woke up looking to for protection, love, guidance in all things. The man they trust more than any other person on earth. The person they rely upon to keep them safe from harm. He was their world. He was their guardian. And he executed them in cold blood. We know that from his admission. By that same admission, Judge, he has committed one of the most monstrous, craven, cowardly acts that will ever be our misfortune to see. To make things even more disturbing, Judge, this was no haphazard act. Again, by his own admission, he planned the events of this day. This did not happen on a whim. He's confessed what I believe is the worst crime, at least I hope, that I'll see in my lifetime. I hope it's the worst fact pattern that ever comes before this court. Judge, it's important for the court to know and the bond we're going to request today, for the court to understand Claremont County deputies, Monroe Township Fire and EMS, and other first responders bravely respond to the scene where they don't know what's going on. They did not know what they're facing, and they come into a...
Are you interested in starting your own faceless YouTube automation channel, but all people do is tell you to go to Fiverr and Upwork and hire...
A scene that no one can ever be prepared for. No law enforcement training, no training of any kind prepares you for this. It's easy to forget that these are men and women with families, children, feelings, emotions. They're not some automaton performing a delegated function. They're people. They were required to give CPR to gunshot children, 3, 4, and 7-year-old children. They held these boys in their arms, knowing there was nothing they could do to save them. How long do those scars last? What day do you wake up from that and you're healed? How do you unsee such an abomination? The bond factors this court needs to consider today are set forth in Criminal Rule 46, nature and circumstance of the crime charged, and specifically whether the defendant used or had access to a weapon, including the seriousness of the offense. It's the most serious offense that we have on the books, Judge. This is it. You can't commit a more serious offense. So the nature of the crime charge is the worst crime that can be charged. Did he have access to a weapon? Yes, obviously he did. The weight of the evidence against the defendant at this point, Judge, we stand here with a full admission of the defendant. That also goes to the confirmation of the defendant's identity and witnesses on scene did see at least part of what happened. Next, the court is to consider the likelihood this person would return to court if a bond were issued. Again, this is the most heinous crime with the most severe penalty under the law that we presented to the grand jury. That alone would be a major factor in discouraging a person from availing themselves to this court or any other. And the thought to flee and the likelihood of flight is great in the state's opinion. The danger he poses the community is a factor that this court can consider, and I think with the facts in front of you, Judge, we can't name a person that poses a greater threat to the community. As his prior record goes, Judge, it is fairly minimal. He was charged with domestic violence in 2010. He is not, to my knowledge, on probation community control. Judge, the facts of this case are hopefully like no other we will ever see. When this case gets indicted in the Court of Common Pleas, I am certain that a no bond hearing will be held, and I would hope that would be granted. But at this point, at this juncture, we're going to ask this court to issue a bond we've never asked for before. I'm going to ask for a bond of $20 million. I hope I never need to request such a bond again.
Thank you. Date for preliminary hearing?
The date for the preliminary hearing, Judge, is 6/26. No objection.
The preliminary hearing will be set for June 26th at 1 p.m. At this point in time, bond's going to be set in the amount of $20 million cash or surety. Anything else at this time, Mr. Gast?
No, Judge.
Mr. Kalm? Mr. Kalm, anything further?
Nothing at this time.
All right, thank you.
I don't know if y'all caught what Chad was saying at the end there, but I think that it might have been CC02. I did some digging in Reddit and I came across a thread that suggested that this may be in reference to protective custody at the Claremont County Jail. Now, I'm obviously not 100% on this. It's Reddit, so take that for what it's worth, but it does make sense to me. It does seem very possible. But to be completely honest, I don't know that this is a privilege that this man really deserves. The outrage that the Claremont County Jail inmates probably feel towards this man, my opinion, again, justified. Completely justified. And I think that if you follow true crime at all, you know that there is something that inmates, even the most violent inmates, they don't stand for. And that is people who harm children. And you know what? Honestly, I agree with them. Out of all the crimes you can commit, there's a plethora of options. Harming children? It doesn't need to be on the list, guys. There's no need to harm children. You could have gone and killed literally any adult, which is wrong still. Like, I'm not advocating for violence. I'm just saying you chose as a grown man to harm innocent children who on their best day have a 0% likelihood of being able to defend themselves against you. How disgusting, how sick of a human being do you have to be to do something like that? Now, one thing that really stood out to me during this court case was his intense emotional display, 180 degrees different from the man that was caught on the body cam footage. Chad put on what is, in my opinion, a full-on show for the courtroom. Big crocodile tears, red face, even like wincing and squinching up his face to just show complete and utter sadness and distress. And I'm gonna tell y'all right now, I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a minute. This is the same man who lined up three boys, ages 3, 4, and 7, and removed their lives from them in the most violent way one could possibly do that. And as if that's not bad enough, this is the man who was their father. And remember, after committing this crime, this man calmly, without a single bone in his body that showed any emotion, turned around and sat back down on the porch and did absolutely nothing other than enjoy a summer afternoon. So I find it very funny that when it's the day of his bond hearing, all of a sudden we've got all of these emotions, right? All of the crying, all of the stress, all of the anxiety. Are these tears for your three boys, Mr. Duerman? I would bet not. I would bet if those tears are authentic, those are tears of sadness for yourself. Now, I am just so grateful that the prosecution came in guns blazing for this guy. They presented their case in detail, leaving zero room for the judge to not feel the weight of what this man had already admittedly done. Chad's criminal history was not one that was full of red flags. When it comes to these types of crimes, though, it's kind of split, in my opinion. Sometimes you have these guys that have like repeated domestic violence charges against them, and then sometimes you have these guys that might have one thing, if even, or just traffic violations that do some really heinous stuff. And Chad Duerman was part of the latter group. Chad had nothing more than traffic violations, with the exception of one domestic violence charge. And this domestic violence charge wasn't even against Laura, it was against his own father. He had allegedly attempted to strangle his dad, but those charges were eventually dropped because on the day that it was supposed to go to court, Chad's father failed to show up as the witness for the prosecution, so everything was dropped. Chad's father, Keith, also has said that everything honestly was just a really big misunderstanding. However, when I tell y'all what else Keith had to say about his son next, you may begin to think the same way I do. And that is that Keith Duerman does not hold his son accountable for his actions. Now, Keith did speak with a news reporter who I believe worked for the Daily Mail. about his son and said that they have no answers. Keith went on to say that they are still actively trying to comprehend what their son Chad has allegedly done, which in my opinion will probably end up being a lifelong process because people who commit crimes like this, they're not like the rest of us. I don't think that normal, sane people have any way to truly fathom, comprehend, and process violence of this degree. This crime was truly senseless and just honestly the definition of tragic. Now, Keith did speculate on what could have possibly triggered his son to do what he had admitted to doing, saying, quote, "There was something going on in his life that he couldn't handle anymore. I can't talk to him. They aren't letting me talk to him. So I don't have any answers. He probably hid a lot of stuff from me." And he also speculated that Chad had, quote, "just snapped," end quote. Now, up until this point, everything that Chad's father is saying really does pull at my heartstrings. Up until this point, I can empathize with him. Unfortunately, though, Keith Duerman did not stop there. He went on to refer to Chad as a super dad, and I just put a pin in that. I'm going to go on a little side tangent here. The Height family murders in Utah, they had released a similar statement in the obituaries for, I forgot his first name, but the last name was Height, H-A-I-G-H-T, if I'm correct. And they had like built this man up to be a super dad as well. Just absolutely like no tact at all. Whenever you massacre your family and remove the lives from your children, you lose that title, okay? Like no super dad kills their kids. Like I'm just saying, like that doesn't happen. And he also went on to paint Chad as a fun-loving guy and a jokester. Nothing funny here, Keith. Absolutely nothing funny here. Now, Chad's father also is adamant that his son has no criminal history and does not have any mental illnesses. And y'all know how I told y'all that what I'm about to say, y'all may end up agreeing with me here in regards to Keith Duerman, Chad's father. This is what I'm talking about right here. During the bond hearing, Chad's defense attorney let the judge know that if the judge was willing to grant that $75,000 bond, that Chad's parents, Keith and Gloria Duerman, were more than willing to co-sign on it. This is absolutely disgusting to me. I know Chad is their son. I have sons myself. I love my sons so much. However, their son killed their grandkids. They suffered a triple loss here. A triple homicide just took place in the form of a weapon being held by their own son, a weapon that he faced at their own grandkids, their small grandkids. And I'm going to say it again. These kids were 3, 4, and 7 years old, guys. If you love your son, hold him accountable for his actions. You can love him all you want and let him sit in jail. Because accountability for the removal of life from 3 children is what's necessary here. We live in a world that thinks that there aren't real consequences for behavior anymore. And at this point, in my opinion, Keith and Gloria both should have an overwhelming amount of love for their 3 grandchildren. A love for their 3 grandchildren that should honestly overpower their love for their son, because those 3 kids are going to be buried now. Now, this case is very fresh. It has just taken place this month, and there are going to be a ton more details coming out. At least I think there will be. One key detail that I'm going to be on the lookout for is definitely going to be motive. Why would Chad have done this? As of now, there has been no definitive answer released. Only speculation. Now, I don't want to go down all the rabbit holes because I know we'll get answers to this, but there was one speculation that I came across that I think really does carry a lot of weight, and I'm eager to see if this ended up being the reason why Chad did what he did, but it is in reference to the marriage between Chad and Laura. A neighbor told reporters that he was constantly hearing fighting coming from the Duerman home, saying that Chad was in a constant state of demeaning Laura, yelling at her and just, quite frankly, treating her terribly. Now, he also painted a very different picture of what Chad Duerman's demeanor was versus what Keith, his father, had painted of him, saying that Chad was actually not a jokester, wasn't funny, none of that at all, and referred to him as being mean. Now, as we see in a lot of cases like this, it's one of the few little glimmers of hope that keep me thinking that humanity isn't all bad. The community really has rallied for Laura, Alexis, and the 3 boys. They have set up a memorial in their honor. And the boys, who were very active in baseball, their team actually had a moment of silence for them as well. Laura's sister also started a GoFundMe, and at the time of me recording this, that GoFundMe had an initial goal, I want to say, of $20,000, and it has already raised well over $200,000. This GoFundMe was directly to help with the expenses related to the burial of her three sons, and I'm honestly truly happy to see that it has raised as much money as it has, because in addition to burying her children, I can only imagine the amount of emotional support, financial support, therapy, just all the support in every single category of life moving forward that not only Laura, but Alexis as well will need. This GoFundMe and this community are proof that there are still good people in this world. People who can see a mom that they've never met, who just lost her entire freaking world at the hand of a man that she loved. A man who should have loved their family more than life itself. And these strangers in this world are showing up to help Laura and Alexis navigate life in the next steps that are now their unfortunate reality. Chad has a preliminary hearing coming up on June 26th at 1 p.m. And as y'all know, I will be following this case closely. I honestly do foresee a lot more information coming out about this case, so just be expecting a part two, if not more. Ohio, just like Texas, which is the state I live in, is a death penalty state. And I'm just gonna shoot this straight, guys. I know I'm gonna get some heat in the comments. Y'all love to roast me. I had a video about Bella Fontanelle and I got some heat on that one. But when it comes to the death penalty, if there were ever good cases for it, oh, they're definitely, in my opinion, the ones that involve children. Chad Duerman is one of the best candidates for lethal injection, in my opinion. And anyone, in my opinion, who harms children is as well. Now, like I said, y'all can come for me in the comments on this one, but it's just genuinely how I feel. Children are truly innocent and are honestly the most vulnerable demographic. Anyone who can harm an innocent and defenseless child does not deserve to breathe air. And at the very least, they don't deserve to breathe air around the rest of us. Now, I have linked the GoFundMe for Laura and Alexis down below. Like I said earlier, I know they've already reached their $20,000 goal, but they have an immensely difficult life ahead of them. So if you have it in your capacity to donate to help them, I am sure they would greatly appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. I know it was a tough one. It was one, like I said, that I genuinely was torn on if I could cover or not. I do try to err on the side of just bringing facts, and I couldn't do that on this one, guys. The cases that involve children, they really rile me up. If that bothers you, I'm not sorry. Sorry, but I'm not sorry. I am very passionate when it comes to children and protecting children, and in this case is just so incredibly heartbreaking. I am truly outraged by what Chad Duerman did to his own children. I'm going to be following this case, like I said though, guys, and I will keep y'all updated with a part two, part three, whatever is needed to fully keep covering this case as we get more information. Y'all can count on me to bring that for y'all. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of the Dark Deeds Podcast. If you haven't considered yet subscribing, please do so. If you are listening on podcast only, you can click the follow button or the little plus button on the top right or left of your screen. And if you are watching me on YouTube, hello, I am so glad to have you here. Please hit that subscribe button. We are super close to hitting our first 1,000 subscribers, and I would be honored to have you join the Dark Deeds fam. I post videos every week covering cases that need to be talked about, and I am just honestly truly grateful to have each and every one of you on all of these platforms. We are almost 20K strong on TikTok. We are doing really good. I want to say I got an email that we're in like the top 10 or top 15 in Iceland. I'm in the US. I don't know how that works, but that's exciting nevertheless. And yeah, we're here on YouTube now too. So thank y'all so much for listening to this content. These are stories that need to be told, crimes that need to be remembered. Honestly, these people had lives that matter. These children, they matter. They will always matter. And the trash that exists on this planet, man, just truly heartbreaking. Thank y'all again for watching. Y'all stay safe out there, and I'll see y'all next week. Bye.